Marvelous sermon by Pastor Ganey last Thursday. Refrigerators all over the country, if they're like mine, are filled with leftovers of turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing. And now our focus shifts to Christmas. Today marks the last day in the church year. And after today, we will be in the season of Advent. And our whole focus will be on getting prepared, getting ready and prepared for Christmas and the birth of our Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, what day of the year do you look forward to more than Christmas? Maybe your birthday? Maybe you're getting married this year, so it's your wedding day? Maybe Easter is a bigger day than Christmas for you. The birth of your firstborn? I mean, there are a lot of days that we celebrate and we look forward to. I wonder how many of you are looking forward to Judgment Day? The Bible is very clear. Life here on earth is getting worse and worse and worse. And it's going to keep on getting that way until Jesus comes again. The Bible tells us that the end is going to come like a thief in the night. We have no idea when the end is going to come. Basically, from looking through scriptures, we see that every single sign of the end of the world has come true already, except for the gospel being preached in every nation and language and tribe and to all people. I mean, just look at what has happened in the world in the last year. Hurricanes in Texas and Florida. Wildfires in California, mass shootings in Las Vegas, a terrible shooting in a church down in Texas, and a truck purposely running over people in New York City right about rush hour. And those are only the things that I could remember off the top of my head in a couple of seconds. Like I said before, it's going to get worse and worse. And so let me ask you again, how many of you are looking forward to Judgment Day? For a moment, I want you to picture that day in your mind. Imagine walking out your front door. And seeing Jesus coming. In all his glory, with all of his angels, and seeing him take his seat on his glorious throne. And there he is, sitting on his throne in all his glory, right before your own two eyes. And before him stands every single person who has ever been born. Billions and billions of people. And you know what? Even those who did not believe in him have no choice but to acknowledge him as the one true God and Savior of the world. And then, with maybe just a nod, or maybe even as a glance, the crowd separates, believers on Jesus' right, unbelievers on his left. Jesus separates the sheep from the goats. This lesson before us today is an invaluable lesson showing us what we can expect on the last day. It shows the Lord in all of his glory. It shows our victorious Lord Jesus Christ sitting on his amazing throne. It shows God's believers entering into heaven. And it shows those who don't believe entering into eternal punishment. But you need to be careful with this text, because this text can be shown as teaching that we are saved by showing mercy, when clearly that is just not the case. When Jesus says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you welcomed me, I was naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came to me." We all know that we are not saved by works, we are saved by faith, especially as we are in this 500th anniversary year of the Reformation. That thought should always be on our minds, because St. Paul clearly tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast." So nothing that we do warrants eternal life. We are sinners, each and every one of us, and we deserve nothing else but God's eternal damnation. Really? Feeding a stranger, giving someone a glass of water, putting clothes on someone who doesn't have any, visiting someone in prison, that's going to earn you eternal life? I don't think so. So while Jesus says giving food to the hungry and giving a drink to the thirsty was the basis for their entrance into heaven, you really, really need to take a closer look at that text and take a look at the very first words out of Jesus' mouth. The very first thing that Jesus says to his sheep are, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." You see, the reason that we're invited into heaven is not because we fed the hungry or gave a glass of water to somebody who was thirsty. The reason we get to enter the pearly gates of heaven is because we are blessed by the Father. We are handed eternal life on a silver platter, not because of anything that we've done, but because we have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as our Savior. And as believers in Jesus, we inherit eternal life. And by its very nature, an inheritance is something that is given to you. There's no way that we can do anything to earn an inheritance. It's a gift by its very nature. And in fact, that gift, that inheritance, it was prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Oh yeah, it belongs to us, it's ours, but it was ours even before we were born. And so there was nothing that we could do to earn it before we were even born. It has been part of God's plan all along to bring us home to heaven through faith that we receive through God's Holy Spirit. And yet it's still true. Since Adam and Eve, this beautiful world of ours that our God created has been going downhill. What God once declared as very good has become corrupted by sin and ruined. Each and every day, sin's effects can be seen all over the world. And it's just going to get worse. And so it's because of that we as Christians should be looking forward to the day that Jesus returns. That is going to be such a glorious day when we see Jesus coming again with our own two eyes, with his multitudes and multitudes of angels. Do you know what that day means? It means the end of sin. It means the end of sorrow. It means the end of sickness, the end of cancer, the end of poverty, the end of sorrow and depression. It means the end of war. It means the end of death. And one of the greatest things, one of the greatest things we see in all of Scripture comes in Revelation 20. In Revelation 20, after Satan is judged and thrown into the lake of fire, John writes, "And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done." And then here's the good part. "Then death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire." My dear friends, that is some of the greatest gospel that there is in the Bible. Because once we are safe and sound in heaven, death itself is thrown into that lake of fire from which it will never escape. We end up in heaven rejoicing with our God and with our Lord Jesus Christ, and death itself is thrown into that lake of fire. That will be a glorious day. It is totally understandable that maybe we aren't really looking forward to Judgment Day and the end of time. It's probably because there are just so many things that we don't know about it that it just makes us uncomfortable. And yet the reality is that is going to be a great, great time for believers of God. It is going to be a time of unending joy. The end of the world means that we are going to be with our God. And the end of the world means that we are going to be free from sin forever and ever. And the end of the world means we are going to be free from death itself. And so while there are many, many other days that we look forward to, Christmas and Easter and all those other days, Judgment Day has to rank right up there with one of those days that we greatly anticipate. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.